Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with JL Covan. I'm JL Covan, here, as always, with Producer Mike. Hello, Producer Mike.
Hi, everybody. Hi, JL. How you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. We're back to you greeting everybody else first.
I'm not thinking about it.
You were slipping up a couple of weeks. You actually greeted me first for a few times.
You make me think about it, and then I literally say your name wrong, because I'm thinking too much about it.
Some people aren't built for this. I'm built different.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, gambling.
What were you saying about being built for this?
Yeah.
You built for dead air or what?
Well, I am 6'7", 300 pounds. I will be dead soon. My special, by the way, Half Blackface, has been on Amazon Prime streaming. Thanks to everybody who's watched it. And now it's on Tubi for the three people who've been waiting
for that.
Yeah. So a lot of free options. It's like basically a platform, an ad-supported platform with a lot of... If you're not good enough to write and star in Tyler Perry movies, Tubi.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that says about my special. They're like, we tried Amazon Prime. Now we're on Tubi. And I think I'll be in Port Authority bus terminal bathrooms next.
the screen in the back of cabs.
No, I'm not. Come on. Not that big. I'd kill for that. But yeah, thanks for people who've been watching that. And I got some live dates coming up in I'm in the Berkshires, the comedy hotbed of the Berkshires near where I went to college. And then I'm in Larchmont, New York, then Washington. Oh, no, then Mohegan Sun for a Trump show, and then Washington, D.C. and Jersey show in September. So things are getting added. But really, just make sure you're on jlcomedy.com, checking the calendar and everything like that. So a lot of fun stuff coming up for the end of my comedy career. did some gambling over the last couple of days. Now, I won two bets, which more than covered my losses, which is what you always want.
Yeah.
You always want to come out ahead. I did I sent you a picture of the parlay that I did. And the Dallas Stars came through for me. I was given an option to cash out at 400, and I said, I think Dallas will beat the defending champs in game seven. And they did.
Nice.
$640. And then Rudy Gobert, longtime fan of Rudy Gobert. I think he's a fan of the show. He came through with Depoy, his fourth. Part of me was rooting for Victor Wembanyama to make history, because that history would have also paid me $5,500 additional dollars.
That would be good.
Yeah. I'd be willing to kind of like throw Gobert under the bus for 2 months' rent.
Well, why do you have an attachment to Gobert other than, I know he was a Utah guy.
Because he was a Utah guy who we fucked him over.
Right.
Like, he was like, I'm staying. I'm a cornerstone. I've built myself up here. I want to be an anchor for this franchise till I retire. And Danny Ainge was like, yeah, but what if you weren't?
Yeah.
What if we could trade you for a worse center and several picks in the late 20s? Would that be something the Jazz fan base would be interested in? Danny Ainge is a bitch.
Yeah.
And I hope...
You don't like him, huh?
I hope... Here's the thing. When he built Boston's championship teams, he suckered the Russian owner of the Nets, who basically was like, the Knicks suck. The theory, I think, behind the Nets thing was the Knicks suck right now. Not right now, but at the time.
Right.
The Knicks suck. I'm the new owner. I got $1 billion. I got connections to Putin. Nobody's telling me what to do. Why don't we take New York? It's here for the taking. Let's do what nobody thinks could be done and take New York from the Knicks. So I'm going to trade with Danny Ainge. He's going to give me Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce. I'm going to sign Darren Williams in his prime.
Yep.
And I think they got Joe Johnson also. What they didn't realize is they were
Paul
putting
Pierce,
together. Though. Oh, I said Paul Pierce.
Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and all the draft picks left.
And they said, what they didn't realize is they were building Ice Cube's first big three team.
Right.
Because Paul Pierce was not quite done.
Yeah.
Because he had some good moments with the Wizards after that, but Garnett was done.
Yeah.
And then Darren Williams, who had some amazing, he scored like 56 points in a game his first year with the Nets. His ankles, destroyed him, derailed a like borderline Hall of Fame talent.
Yep.
And so these picks that became Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were not supposed to be that.
Right.
He got lucky. And so he thinks now that he has the Midas touch. Oh, if I rebuild a team, it automatically happens. Well, the Timberwolves look like they're going to be pretty good for the next decade to 15 years.
Well, yeah, they said that the Rudy Gobert trade was one of the worst for a long time. And I don't know.
And
know,
I respect.
Maybe not.
Rudy Gobert is a biracial guy.
Yep.
He's a tall guy. He's an underappreciated talent.
Yeah.
He's often sometimes even disrespected despite his accolades, his accolades and his skill set.
Yeah.
And all he does is keep grinding.
Yep.
And winning awards. Yep. And now he's in on a real title contender. And I feel no attachment to that story.
Yeah.
Because I'm not on a title contender.
Yeah.
But I just feel like he's somebody that I look at and go, yeah, I was a huge fan before and I'm a huge fan now. Mm-hmm. He is friends with Aaron Rodgers.
That we don't like that.
That could be his Stockton anti-vax Malone anti-statutory rape laws.
Yeah, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers could be his downfall.
Yeah.
You know, it starts with, I went to a darkness retreat. Fine. If you got to get your head clear, I understand you're on a lot of pressure. But it ends with him, you know, campaigning with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Who, I don't know if you saw, by the way, came out and said that a worm ate part of his brain.
Yeah.
What a madman. He's running for president. Can you believe that?
He's locked down the Tim Dillon vote.
Yeah.
So that's a big fan base. It's you know. But no, that's, I mean, is that the kind of raw honesty we claim to want from our politicians?
Who's to say at this point? I don't know what's going on.
Some things should be kept, I think, from the public.
I think that would be that would be a good thing to not say.
Because it makes me think either you're crazy because you think that happened or you're crazy because it happened.
Right. And either way,
I don't give a damn what you think you're entitled to. So Gobert won me some money. I had a good week. The Rangers just keep losing me money.
Yeah.
I have beautiful parlays that I can't help myself from playing, and I always come like one leg short of them. But it doesn't really matter because the Rangers are playing so well that like I almost view it as like if they win, great.
Yeah.
I mean, if I win the bet, great. But the way they won the game last night in double overtime, you think I gave a shit that I lost $100?
Yeah.
Not at all. So it was nice.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you keep winning, I'll keep losing and I won't care. So, I should just probably just bet the Rangers to win and take my humble like $100 win instead of, but if I do these three guys.
Yeah. I've been saying
I get $13,000.
I don't know why you keep doing the parlays are such sucker bets and you just refuse.
But I don't take their sucker bets. I create my own sucker bets. So I feel like I have ownership over them.
Parlays,
it's empowering.
Parlays are literally something you do with like 20 extra bucks. Like if you've got $20, you're like, all right, seven things have to hit. I know it's probably not going to
$100 is the JL regular man's $20.
Okay, fine, Mr. fucking big shot over there.
Okay.
But that's what, like, when you're gambling on Sunday on football, you go, like, I have $20 left. Throw it on a long shot.
I don't watch or gamble on football. I stand with Cap. That's something you should know about me as we head into the fall. Well, as we head into...
There goes our DraftKings sponsorships.
FanDuel.
Oh, excuse me.
No, they would be glad to sponsor me.
FanDuel?
They keep giving me free $25. It's almost like they're sponsoring me already.
Yeah, to get
here you go, you fucking idiot. Does that count as a sponsorship? Use code fucking idiot to get $25 from the JL moron fund?
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with gambling. I had a good week. And then this turned into like the Pat McAfee show.
This was your choice.
Just bros talking sports. But the big news, a lot of big comedy news in the last week. The roast of Tom Brady. Now, you're always on top of things, so I know I'm going to be able to bounce things off of you. You saw it, right?
I did not. I watched it. I know it happened, and I know people are talking about it, but no, I have not watched. For a lot of reasons. I don't like Tom Brady, first off, as a Jets fan. And I don't think he's like this awesome...
Oh, you're a Mets Jets guy.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
And it always they always go in those pairs. The Mets Jets, yeah. Yankees Giants.
Yeah, yeah.
Winners and losers.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, you hate comedy and you hate Tom Brady, so you didn't want to watch the roast of Tom Brady for 3 hours?
Yeah, that was not an easy sell for me, I got to be honest.
Okay.
I'll get to it.
Well, I watched it with my usual skeptical eye.
Yeah.
The 3 hour thing was immediately suspect to me. But I will say, about 2.5 hours worth it. I really didn't. I did watch it in two parts. I didn't watch it live, but I really liked it. First off, Tom Brady, you can hate him all you want. I gave in after the sixth Super Bowl, I said, that's it. And I have debates with people all the time who still maintain this, like, but he was in an easy division. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear.
Yeah.
It makes you seem foolish and like a hater at this point. If you're like, no, actually, so-and-so is the GOAT. Now, Joe Montana could have an argument based on era, I still think, but not really. Like, and I wouldn't call you crazy if you said Joe Montana is the best. And obviously Patrick Mahomes is obviously the best of the next generation. But I don't know. Look at his fucking career.
There's not really, that's one of the one sports where I feel like it is really completely wrapped and there's not much of an argument that can be made. Like, even with Jordan and LeBron, you can argue, I think. LeBron's close. I mean, he's got the most points.
Right. He's won, and Jordan is right on his heels.
Is that what you think, really?
I would have LeBron as my GOAT.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know that I disagree with you, to be honest. I'm just surprised to hear you say that.
I don't want to make this about me again, but he's 6'8". He's a strong, tall guy. He stands out in a crowd.
He's 6'9", 250.
Maligned, despite his talents.
Right.
You getting a theme here of the people I identify with? Tall greats who don't get their due?
Sure.
Basically, me, Gobert, and LeBron should go on tour together.
Yeah.
The new big three.
Yeah. You'd be opening.
I'm willing to. You know, it'll dispel these rumors that I'm not a team player.
Yeah.
So, it's a wrap. And I think you could argue, like, a Jerry Rice, if you want to, like, break off from position, what he did and the records he has that still stand.
Sure.
You know, if you wanted to say, I think Jerry Rice is the greatest football player ever or something like that, that would be fine. But it really is done. If you're just being rational and reasonable, it's a wrap for now.
Yeah.
And I don't think Mahomes has to win 7, just like I don't think LeBron has to win 6. But it's overwhelming at this point in terms of Brady's legacy and going to Tampa Bay. And you could say, oh, they had a loaded team. Yeah, but you know what? There are a lot of loaded teams every year who don't fucking win, let alone a 42-year-old going to his first new team in 2 decades.
They also fell apart immediately when he left.
There you go.
Yeah.
I actually believe that Derek Jeter, Tom Brady, and Donald Trump all shared a timeshare deal with the devil.
Yeah.
And if you look at how it lines up, they really almost never won the same year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they all who won the Super Bowl in 16? Not the Pats? I can't remember.
I can't either. Maybe
there was one around there because they beat the Rams somewhere in there.
Yeah. And the Falcons? Was that later? Falcons was later.
These are all like around the same time. So it's interesting.
I feel like I looked that
those
up.
Those three RPs in a pod.
Yeah.
I really think, I mean, we know Jeter lived in a Trump building.
Right.
They're buddies.
What if it's like Devil's Advocate and you walk up to Jeter's penthouse in Trump and it's just like little Pacino sitting there with the three of them? I don't have the energy to do a Devil's Advocate. He's an absentee landlord. Derek Jeter, you can win. Can't hit home runs. Trump, you can fuck anybody you want, small dick. Tom Brady, you're going to have everything, but you're going to look like a fucking monster after you retire. That was pretty good. Yeah. But they do. That's an SNL sketch I would write if they ever hired good comedy writers. You're going to edit that out later, right?
Can you please continue?
I am continuing. I mean, I just gave you, I said I wouldn't, I gave you the Pacino heat. Literally, not the movie. I gave you the Pacino. Anyway.
I know.
Nora Fala. That's actually his girlfriend. It sounds like something that he would say in Scent of a Woman, though.
Yes.
Anyway, Tom Brady looks ghoulish. That was that whole Tom Brady reference. He looks ghoulish now, and it makes me sad because I go, wow, how does a 6'5", see, he's not in the club of tall, talented, underappreciated. So that's when you get the fucking...
He has to get punished somehow.
Well, mentally.
Yeah.
Because what are you doing with all the surgery?
Yeah.
And the hair plug's fine. He was going bald. He had like a Bieber, like a fake Bieber thing in his 20s.
Yeah.
But you know, fine. Hair plugs. Who gives a shit? It's been so long. You had top of the line hair plugs.
Yeah.
But the facial shit. it's sad to me because it's like, and I hate to be, there is a double standard. You don't have to like, what women are going, oh, 45-year-old Tom Brady's gross.
I don't know. That's a good question.
So why, I don't get it. He still looks like obviously handsome, but it's like, it's weird now. He looks like one of those, like there was a claymation sort of show.
Yeah.
Like a puppet claymation show in the 80s. And I know the Genesis video, Invisible Touch, used it. These like puppet, anyway, before your time, literally before your time. But okay, so Brady's there. He looks weird. Kevin Hart, who I'm a fan of his acting and charisma, hate his stand-up.
Yeah.
Thought he did a very good job. Other than his overly long intro, he really was a very good moving it along MC.
Yeah.
And it was produced by one of the producers of the show was Heartbeat Productions, which is his production company, which would explain his, you know, 98-minute set up front.
Yeah.
The athletes mostly sucked. Gronkowski was like somebody, I mean, the amount of, here's what I, here, big takeaway before we get, we're going to get to our main topic and take a break. Main takeaway was, oh, wow, white athletes still talk like it's a 1985 William Zabka movie. You suck dick, bro. Tom in the locker room would jerk off Julian Edelman, bro. Julian Edelman be like, give me some more cum, Tam. Come on. And it's like, what decade am I in?
Yeah, yeah.
It was so like...
Well, Gronk is going to be in a home in a couple years. I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of brain cells.
No, I think Gronk is dumb.
Yes,
I think,
he is.
No, but I think people will think he has brain damage. You know who wasn't there? Wes Welker.
Oh, yeah. That guy's got big time.
He was playing and I'm with the Broncos, and I remember him. He sounded punch drunk. It's sad.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, he was like Brady's main receiver for the first couple titles.
Yeah.
He wasn't there. I don't think that was because they had a falling out. I think it's because he can't fucking speak, probably. And it's sort of sad.
Yeah.
Gronk is just dumb. I honestly think Gronk isn't going to have CTE. He got out. The only smart thing he did was he kind of got out like the way like Travis Kelce will probably get out. It's like Hall of Fame career in the fewest amount of games possible.
I don't know. I mean, I think all these guys played for a decade.
But Gronk's body got like fucked up.
Yeah.
But he blocked more than the average. Like tight end now is like a glorified jacked
receiver. Blocking
is
the thing is one of the things that fucks you up because you're constantly. I mean, but the big hits hurt.
But he's not doing it as much as like an offensive lineman.
Sure.
And I think he just seems to me, it's not that he's slurring his speech. He just seems doofy.
Yeah.
And that may be the extent of it. But it was a lot of like, you're gay, you big homo, kind of stuff where it was like, am I in middle school?
Yeah.
Like, it was such a time warp.
Yeah.
And it made me realize about America. I'm like, you know what? There's millions of people watching this going, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're gay. And that's enough. That's enough. Yeah. Like, that's, as a comedian, it frustrates me because I go, oh, that's all you needed.
Yeah.
You're gay.
Yeah.
Like, at least some people had clever jokes implying that. That's where the joke writing, you can have the same point to the joke, but if it's just like, and Julian Edelman would always want to shower alone with Tom so he could suck his penis.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
The exception, Drew Bledsoe.
He scorched earth.
Drew Bledsoe, if I were gay, I'd be like, that's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to say, tall, good career, underappreciated.
Yes.
If there's a theme, I don't know if there's a theme just naturally, organically developing here. No, but he had like this, I'm Tom's older brother. I know I'm not as famous or quite as good looking, but the chicks actually dig me a little more because I got that energy.
Yeah.
I got that vibe that's just like I'm in the back drinking, like a Clooney, like closer to a Clooney vibe, except he's a fucking massive dude.
Yeah, yeah.
But where he's just like, what's up, Tom? Yeah, you fucked me, but whatever. You know, and one of his jokes was, and I just sell it, and I've done two things that Tom Brady can't say. When the Patriots got rid of me, somebody else wanted me, and or something like that. And he said, and I just celebrated 28 years with my wife. As a boy, it was like a killer, but he had this incredible kind of just, oh, you're like well adjusted. I think that's like you could have been Tom Brady, not quite, but you could have won a couple titles.
Sure.
Like You might have two rings in a Hall of Fame career if Tom Brady doesn't emerge and you don't get injured. I don't think you'd have seven rings. I don't think you'd be Tom Brady, but you'd be might be in the Hall of fucking Fame.
Yeah.
And he took it. He had like a drink in his hand. He just had the, he had the coolest vibe, I think, of anybody at the whole fucking roast, mm-hmm. which is impressive, given that you could be like, but he had like the older brother. He had like this responsible older brother vibe to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Now, the comedians, most were really good. Nikki Glaser, who I'm sure you've heard about. I'm a huge Nikki Glaser fan in all ways that you can be a fan of Nikki Glaser. I think she's a phenomenal comedian. I thought her last special, and I meant to talk about this months ago on this show, and I forgot to. When we talked about like the one woman show about blowjobs, mm-hmm. I wanted to mention Nikki Glaser did a special, I think it was called Blowin' on Netflix. I was blown away, mm-hmm. By how good it was, by how fucking good, because it's such a vulgar, you're like, okay, it was amazing, amazing, amazing stand-up comedian. She was great. Andrew Schultz mm-hmm. was really good. And I would call him, if I had a roast joke for him, I'd be like, and we have Andrew Schultz currently starring in The Zone of Nobody's Interested, because he has that like fucking Nazi look to him. Anyway, there was a movie called Zone of Interest.
I got it.
Okay. And that would have bombed, apparently, if everybody in the audience hated comedy, which they didn't. And my winner of the whole thing, I know most people have Nikki Glaser, and that's a fair choice. Me and Robert Griffin III, mm-hmm. oddly enough, he had his shit ranked exactly like me.
Yeah.
Tony Hinchcliffe, who I know is like a Rogan guy, and I always got a vibe. I looked at him and always thought he looks like, you know, Roy Cohn combined with Tony Robbins.
That's kind of good.
Yeah. Basically.
He is Roy Cohn-y looking.
Yes. But like kind of the big teeth of a Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins with deathbed AIDS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His jokes, but I was predisposed. I can be honest about this, and this will be a good lead in. I was predisposed to be like, oh, he's like a Rogan guy, and he's like a says the shock value thing, but motherfucking great.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, I was literally just sitting there impressed. I was like, this dude just took like his 4 minutes because he didn't even get like one of the like at the dais kind of spots.
Yeah.
Murdered. Absolutely murdered. So I liked it. I really thought for like, they should have cut some of the athletes. I get having like Gronk, Brady, Belichick, and Bledsoe. Nobody else needed to talk. Most of the comics were really good. I think Bert Kreischer and his, what's his other guy, Tom Segura. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of like the value of the zingers of everybody, I thought they if I was going to remove one comedy set piece from that, it would have been there like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you have like a 2-hour, 25-minute thing, and it would have been really good. So that's not your comedy review. That's just some random talk. Mike didn't watch it. That's why I talked so long. And the only reason I talk so long, because I'm usually not long-winded. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk.
Are you kidding me?
We're going to take a
break.
You're
not usually long-winded?
I am kidding you.
Okay.
Well, hopefully 8 of my fans got that. I'm sure most of them didn't.
I just couldn't tell.
Yeah, no, well, I'm the driest wit in the fucking desert. But we're gonna take a break. But when we come back, we're gonna talk more in depth about conservative comedy.
Yes.
When we return. Welcome back, everybody. Mike, how was your break?
Fantastic.
What'd you do?
I'm looking at glass vases on Amazon here.
Oh, you classing the place up?
Yeah, we have right now, you can't see on camera, but we have, there's some flowers on that table and they're currently in an Essentia bottle because I don't have a vase in the studio. So
I never even knew what that, I never, for the first time you just said what that water is called. I always think of it as like alkaline plus water.
That, yeah, basically.
But it's like, I don't even look at the, I'm like the black with the red trim bottle with the alkaline.
The delicious water.
Well, let's get serious about comedy. Yeah. I know you like, there's nothing other than comedy. Serious discussions about comedy, I think, are your, probably like your bucket list of things you like to do or want to do, I should say. Well, cross it off the list because we're going to do it. Conservative comedy, Mike. Now, you've worked in conservative radio.
I did.
You've worked with a lot of different comedians, probably across the ideological spectrum, mm-hmm. from radical left Columbia protesters to
yes,
you know, to Klansmen who work with, like, you know, Compound Media.
Yeah, actually, it is really funny how I've worked. My career is very schizophrenic. I've worked with people all the way on the right, like, obviously, Sean Hannity and Don Imus. And I don't know if Don Imus is, like, such a righty, but by the end of his life, right, you know. And then I've worked on the other side with people like Joanne Reed and fucking, she's not a comedian, but, like, you're talking about two major ends of the spectrum.
Her hair is sometimes funny.
Yeah, well, yeah, Aunt Joy is she's a very lovely lady, but. Yeah.
But the blonde, you've seen her most recent hair?
I have not. No. Oh. I haven't been, like, checking in with her as much, but, you know.
Well.
She's fun to work with.
Well, good. Good. And then there's me.
Right.
Slightly left-leaning. Horrible to work with. But I've been thinking to myself and this is kind of an intersection of what we do on the show a little bit in terms of politics and entertainment. But I feel like comedy has now entered the realm of where, like, faith and patriotism became sort of, like, at some point, just the property of the right.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, oh, yeah, well, I'm a patriot and I'm a, you know, I don't like liberal. I'm a patriot and I'm a, you know, I'm a church going guy. And it's like, oh, I guess you vote for Trump then or whatever the Republican is. And I hate that because it gives such, the branding has became so strong over the last, like, 50 years that it's like, you can literally be like a Trump supporter doing all the opposite things that you claim that you stand for and yet still claim you stand for them.
Yeah,
it's very weird. And comedy, I feel like, is becoming a little bit of the next thing in this, where it's sort of the divide. And I need to say this first off. I'm sure people will see the title, like, conservative comedy, and they'll be the first to go, and this is an oxymoron. Conservatives aren't funny. And then I'll go, no, you're not funny. We don't. That's what we know right now is that you writing that are not funny.
Yeah.
Because just like there aren't rules in comedy, that would be a rule. And I know conservative people who are funny.
Yeah.
I know fucking same. Racists who have a good sense of humor.
I know so many funny racists.
Oh, I don't know that many. Jeez.
I grew up in Jersey, buddy.
Oh, that's true. I go to Ranger games. I'm basically now a member of a hate group.
Yes. Same thing.
Like,
welcome to the meeting, brother.
But it's this weird thing that I see that seems to have happened. And that's why I mentioned Tony Hinchcliffe before the break as somebody who I can admit I was kind of like, I'd seen a controversial video of him that apparently was somewhat out of context where he had said, like, some Asian slur.
Yeah.
And I was like, in my head, I can admit
kind of
to
famous
this
for doing so.
Right.
Yeah.
In my head, I can sort of go, I can admit to, Well, Rogan, that whole anti-woke. So it's like, as long as you're offending, you get to be, well, I'm a comedian. And it becomes this, you know, just like, I'm a Republican. Of course I'm a patriot.
Right.
Even though I support a traitor.
Right.
Because I'm a Republican. Like, the branding is strong. So it becomes this, I offended because I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't that funny.
Yeah.
Isn't that still the hallmark of comedy? Is it funny? And to be fair, like, when I saw Hinchcliffe, I said, oh, well, you know, that was me a little, you know, biased and being proven a little wrong because he was very strong. But it seems that comedy has now become this thing where it's like the left wants their comedy to be subject matter, like, approved.
Mm-hmm.
And the right seems to be like, doesn't really need to be that funny either. If it's offensive, we got your back.
Right.
And if you're, like, just going after, even if you're a hack, like, and I will group in Dave Chappelle in sort of the conservative comedy vibe right now. I know somebody would be like, he's actually not right now. He's part of that movement where it's like, you can say jokes about trans people and you can be Bill Maher complaining about wokeness.
Yeah.
And you can do it without stopping and without contributing something original to the discourse, even in a comedy way, in a joke way. And yet that right wing sort of comedy base will just kind of go, yeah,
yeah,
Great. Love it. Love hearing how wokeness is killing comedy for the 400th straight time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's as if hack has no longer exists for them.
Right.
You know, I can do the greatest Trump impression ever, riff, and people go, you fucking hack, because they don't like it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, but what I said was actually quite original.
Like, PC has now become this weird kind of like dog whistle.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you and I agree that PC is hurting comedy, we're almost like, you and I can vibe a little bit. Because we can just be like, oh, JL feels the exact same way I do, which means we can probably, you know, we can probably use some slurs at this dinner table or whatever. That's how I feel about it.
But it becomes this sort of like, oh, you hate wokeness. Well, now you get this new benefit of the doubt from me, and you will get laughter of agreement.
Yeah.
Not laughter of you're funny. You will get laughter of agreement.
Right.
And, you know, it's become very bizarre to me because it just feels like, but this is, I rarely say this in politics, but both sides kind of do it. Mm-hmm. But the right wing side has more culture warriors, and I feel like more dollars and more passion behind it. So they get to dictate comedy now a little bit more, like the way I want it to be. Like the clubs and things like that are a little more dictated by that, you know, you can't say anything anymore.
Right.
That's like where the passion is. The left is kind of like, oh, we hate Trump, and we'll watch hacks make fun of Trump, and that's just as good.
Yeah.
So they've sacrificed their comedy taste for like political agreement.
Yeah.
And the right has sacrificed. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And the right has sacrificed like decency, which you don't have to be you don't need decency, but it's like, you also don't have to be indecent to be funny. Like, it's not a prerequisite that it's like, did you hurt any feelings today?
Right.
Not a real comic.
Right.
Did somebody kill themselves after your show?
Right.
Because you insulted their community and said, blah, blah, I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, then you're not. No, then you're not in the club.
Right.
And this can't, like, this is, that's one part of my fucking beef right now with what, and I am a man, as you can imagine, without a country in this. That's, I mean, there is a little bit of a personal stake in this where I just go, I have had this happen where I have turned off left-leaning fans, if you want to call them that, because they didn't like a joke. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, you've entertained me for 9 straight months. Oh my God. Delete this or I'm gone. Be gone.
Yeah. You're also in this weird position where the Trump impression has gotten you to a level where I think a lot of people expect you to be kind of closer to the, like Vulture magazine hack.
I am part of the resistance.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
So when you're not like that, they're going to be like, wait a minute.
Right.
He ruffled my feathers, which is kind of like, I think ruffling feathers is okay.
Yeah.
But I think that
even for vegans,
when you get to the point, like you were saying, where the whole act is like being a real dick, then it's just kind of counterintuitive. You know,
right? Like, but it's really has happened where it's like, and I think the reason I wanted to talk about conservative comedy more is because I think they're driving the lane of comedy I want to be in. And they'll always say, oh, I like so and so. They're, well, yeah, and they're famous or they're your friend, but it's like, I'm sure people think I'm a hack on certain, I remember some guy wrote to me a couple of years ago and he was like, I was really surprised that you weren't one of these like woke comics. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there was nothing about me other than that I did a great impression of Trump.
Right.
Like I didn't do a shitty, it wasn't me doing a shitty impression. Like, excuse me, you have to gay.
Right.
Like there was there, whether you like it or not, there was skill behind it. That skills should give me the benefit of the doubt that maybe my comedy is also going to be good. Mm-hmm. If I were spitting out hackneyed things, then you could be like, this guy probably sucks. But it was still refreshing that at least this person gave my comedy a chance to be like, oh, I thought you were going to be, and probably our politics, and I might not even like this person.
Yeah.
But it was refreshing, but that's very few, very, very limited, I think. I think most people just now think we can tell everything about you from how you state certain things and what side of the woke PC divide. Right. And if I don't hear you complain enough about wokeness, then you're probably woke. It's like a red scare
Yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
are you now or have you ever been politically correct?
Right.
Fuck you, N-word. Okay, yeah. You're good. He's good. Yeah, he's right. Good. He's good.
Yeah.
Have you ever committed a hate crime against a gay person? When have I not? Yeah. Yep, you're a comic.
Yeah.
You're a comic.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you talk about blowjobs? Are you talking about politics, Missy?
Yeah.
Blowjobs, you're in.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is this weird thing where you end up being like, oh, yay, I'm a Democrat. I make fun of Republicans because I do good impressions of them. My stand-up is almost exclusively non-political. Mm-hmm. And you lose some of those and you don't draw in. It's like there's now a litmus test for your comedy. At least I should say, maybe not. Maybe it's because I got famous in the political sphere. So it becomes people can't separate it. But speaking of that, I did want to talk more specifically about a show that I sometimes watch at night. Because it's highly political comedy.
I wasn't sure you were a fan of this show.
No, I am a student of comedy and of culture.
Right. Right, okay. Course. Yes.
That's why I watch Shogun.
Right. And these shows are very similar.
Yeah. They both make me want to stab myself in the stomach. Gutfeld on Fox, which gets better ratings than any of the like network comedy shows.
I'm sure. Yeah. By probably a lot.
Yeah, because it's the only, just like Fox News, if you want bullshit,
right,
you can only come to the Bullshit Emporium.
Yes.
You want real stuff, you have a lot of options.
Yeah.
Bullshit, one option.
Yeah.
And Bill Maher has become a little bit like this also. He used to be a more varied person, but he's got this real hard-on for like vaccine mandates and wokeness. Mm-hmm. And he has become very boring with that stuff.
Super boring, yeah.
And that's all. My whole point is, like, somebody wrote to me on Facebook. I didn't even respond to their comment. But they're like, Bill Maher is, by the way, and my thing was about humor. He was like, by the way, Bill Maher is 100% correct on vaccine mandates and wokeness. And I said, okay. And this has what to do with comedy?
Right.
Like, you're kind of proving my point where it's like, yeah, this was a discussion of comedy and how bored I am of comics going, woke,
yeah,
woke. He's been complaining about wokeness for like 7 years and not in any original way.
Yeah, yeah.
And the vaccine mandate thing, I think with him, I think he realized he spent a lot of time justifiably going after Trump. But once Trump was gone, I think he really wanted to pivot business, like a business decision pivot, which is like, well, now the left is annoying me, mm-hmm. but I can become the even Bill Maher says mm-hmm. clip every Sunday on Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Even lefty Bill Maher. I mean, the amount of times Fox has posted, like, even.
Yeah.
Well, by the 900th time, it's no longer really left-wing Bill Maher. It's more like right-wing clickbait.
Yeah.
Former comedian curmudgeon.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Maher
yeah.
says.
Yeah.
And his thing with the vaccines, I always thought was fascinating because it was like he got the shot and then got COVID after. And he was like 61 at the time or 60. Mm-hmm. And he's always like, I didn't want to do it. I was a team player. And I go, well, what if you hadn't? You never explore the option of what if you'd gotten it and no vaccine?
Yeah, yeah.
And you died.
Yeah.
Like this idea of like it had no effect. You don't know that. You don't know if it didn't help you survive. But he never brings that up because now he is about libertarian right wing, like he's like, I have some of my left wing people built in, and now I want to cater to this.
To jump in here, JL, yeah. I think that part of the issue that's happening right now, and this is why this is all getting so strange, is because like we're moving back to this place where, in my opinion at least, where the boxes don't line up with any political leanings at this point. I don't know how anybody really like what. Usually you have a menu where you're just like, if I'm into this, if I'm pro choice, if I'm pro gay rights, if I'm pro, I don't know if you want to say anti-gun, but like if you have my checklist.
Pro kids living.
Sure. But yeah, however you want to slice it, you check these things off. You're a liberal, right? Mm-hmm. And we're using, if you want to use like the Rogan camp as an example, as being kind of like a bit of a like a flag in the ground for conservative comedy, and they kind of roll in circles where like Aaron Rodgers likes to do the Rogan podcast right. and all this stuff. Like, do the thing is, it's like, do we believe that Aaron Rodgers, for example, if he like fits into this because he's an anti-vax guy too, the kind of the way that like Marr has been championing that, are these guys conservatives? Because I don't think that they are. I think if you actually,
they're selfish.
Well, sure.
I've often said the new party, the new third party in America, and it might be the biggest party in America, is selfish.
Right.
Where being able to throw out marijuana and abortion, doesn't that prove I'm not a dick?
Yeah.
Parting with, like, that's the thing. The two hallmarks of conservatives, as far as I'm concerned, the big pillars in my life, religious, pro-life religion. Don't take my money.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay taxes.
Right.
And then people will be like, well, I'm fine if a chick wants to fucking get rid of the baby.
Yeah.
Don't you fucking take my money. Oh, what a hero. What a fucking hero.
Right.
You mean you want to get high and not have a kid?
Yeah.
But you also don't want any of your extra money going to services for poor people or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, selfish is the largest political party in this country or political movement. So when you have an Aaron Rodgers, I think he's like, no, I think any woman should be able to have an abortion. It's like, oh, well, but like, he'll be like, but don't anybody tell me what I can do with my money and I don't know that with him.
Sure.
But these
people in general, yes. I think that's why like somebody like Bill Maher is becoming like an interesting thought experiment. Cause I do think in a weird way, anti-woke, like identifying as somebody that's just like an anti-woke warrior, is that to me now feels like the hallmark of somebody on the right, because I just kind of feel like you don't think about it as much if it's not like a major political fucking
right
point of view for you. And those are the Trump people. They are anti-woke, and that's like the most important thing to them,
right?
You know, which is not, it's like it's a straw man.
It is. And I hate, like, that's the thing. And with Bill Maher, it's like, are you isn't your show, it's politics, but like comedy? Like, you can disagree with John Stewart or whatever, but I never really got the feeling like The Daily Show had, this is a very special episode of The Daily Show. No jokes.
Well, not whilst John Stewart was hosting it. I don't know about Trevor Noah, but.
I didn't watch Stewart.
Yes, I agree with you. Stewart's got this like thing down,
right?
Where he's just like, he knows what he's doing, and like he always seems very playful, even when he's going to talk about something serious,
right? Because Bill Maher, he never really loses.
Is kind of a dick,
right? You know? He never loses the word, the sight of the ball or the game. He never
takes
loses,
his eye off the ball.
Takes his eye. Yeah, yeah, one of those.
Sight of the game.
Where? Yeah. He never takes his eye off the glory hole. And so it's always like, whereas like now it becomes, I could tell you these jokes and see if you like me as a comedian, or I can go, I'm anti-woke.
Right.
And it's like the Pied Piper. It's like, well, now let's come see his comedy, because obviously we know it's going to be stuff we like.
Yeah.
And yet when left-wing people, and I say both sides shouldn't do it, but once again, nobody has a problem saying like left-wing is a bunch of hacks and a bunch of like clapter bullshit. Mm-hmm. Oh, but when right wing people say anti-woke for the 500th time in a row, guy's a fucking killer.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. And it annoys me because it feels like they've now co-opted the same way they got patriotism and faith. They got real comedy. Like they're the ones defending comedy because they care about free speech.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. But Gutfeld. This is when, and I have friends who've been on Gutfeld. I have people I know and who I think are funny who've been on Gutfeld, people I've worked with. But my God, I watch that and I go, how is this? Like, and I haven't seen every episode.
Yeah.
And Kristi Noem was a gift as far as I'm concerned. Kristi Noem is one of those like easy layups where conservatives can dunk on her and be like, hey, we hit both sides. We hit Joe Biden for being old and called him fucking Hitler 2.0. But we also got Kristi Noem for murdering dogs. So we're actually not hack partisan. They are, first of all, and we said this before the show, that show should be Schneider for Rob Schneider.
Yeah, yeah.
Rob Schneider's agent should be fired because you've done all, you've done way more as a comedic actor and comedian than Greg Gutfeld. You're a bigger name and you've done your like last 5 years, 6 years of like, you know, anti-woke,
yeah,
you know, prefacing before all your comedy appearances.
Yeah.
But Gutfeld is not funny. And what I feel like I was on, for anybody out there who wants to call me out, I've been on Comics Unleashed with Byron Allen.
Yeah.
You know, that is, you know, insult to injury. I made less doing that show than my round trip flight cost.
Yeah.
So
what was your routine on,
well, I had four or five bits that I gave them. And
so JL, I heard you like to go to the park
shopping,
shopping.
Okay. JL, you like shopping. That's right. And when I do shop, Byron, that was the preface.
Yeah.
When I do shop, I have to go to the Big and Tall store.
Yeah. Right.
So thank God I have this bit about the Big and Tall store planned.
Yeah.
Now what's funny about that is, I waited 9 years for my episode to air. I filmed it in 2014. It aired like the end of last year. I found out the day after.
It's still on?
It was on like CBS at 1:30.
I didn't realize. Oh, yeah. Shit.
It goes through these cycles where it's
I thought
on.
Comic View was this like relic of an
No,
old...
not Comic View. Comics Unleashed.
Comics Unleashed. My bad.
Not yeah, Comic View yeah, was yeah. BET.
Yes. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Comics Unleashed, and I believe somebody said Norm MacDonald said perfectly, very leashed.
Yeah.
But I did it. It was a credit when I had like only one credit to my name.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I come out to LA, boom, boom, boom. And I do it and it doesn't air for 9 years. It airs and I miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know when it was airing again. And this is a nice little story before we get back to trashing conservative comics. It aired again. And my mom happened to be up, couldn't sleep. Flipped on CBS and she sees me on TV.
Mm.
It's only been on twice.
Yeah.
She just happened to wake up. It was like the Lord said, wake up.
This might be your only chance.
You need to see your son when he was younger and more fit and happier.
Yeah.
Because it's like a time portal. It's 9 years ago.
Yeah.
But that is a show that was like very hackneyed and scripted and like, it's obviously apolitical.
Yeah.
It's obviously evergreen. That's the whole point of doing like these kind of evergreen bits.
Yeah.
And it's not part of an entity trying to destroy democracy in America.
Right.
So like when you go on Gutfeld, you're like checking a little bit of your comedy credibility for a paycheck. We do it from time. I don't.
Yeah.
But a lot of these fucking soulless creatures do it
yeah.
in this comedy game. But you're also doing it not in service of like, hey, I'm getting my name out there. It's like, but how are you getting your name out there?
Mm-hmm.
On a fucking mid-level propaganda operation.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where I go, people could call me a hack all they want. I was doing the Trump impression for nobody since 2015.
Yeah.
Because I was good at it.
Yeah.
It was funny. Not because I thought I might get money. Like I was like, oh, you know, I got to feed the Lincoln Project some fucking shit. But like going on a Gutfeld, like when you watch it, it's Kat Timpf, who I've said before,
mm-hmm.
is kind of like a Miley Cyrus character, I feel like. I can't believe SNL hasn't had Miley Cyrus play like Kat Timpf in a Gutfeld sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrus, the wrestling champion from the wrestling league nobody knows, who is not very funny.
Yeah.
He's a big, burly guy. He's not funny.
Yeah.
And Timpf, I know, has some like comedy credentials.
Yeah. I knew Kat back in the day. She was a stand-up.
Yeah, and she got nice legs. And you know what?
I'll leave that for you.
No, that may sound sexist here. I'm sorry. You think Fox News is anti-women's legs?
No, they're very pro-women's
legs. It's what
legs,
they're
sure.
selling.
Yeah.
You know, 4 out of 5 nights a week, it's Kat Timpf legs featuring Tyrus on Gutfeld.
Yeah.
And then there's comics. And guys I know, guys I respect. Guys, but it's like when I watch it, I go, and this is I'm picking on conservative comics because I feel like I'm more angry at them and this kind of branding that they've taken the mantle of like, we're the real comics. But the idea of going on a Gutfeld is like so antithetical to me, even if I was conservative, because I'd be like, it would offend me as a comic if it didn't offend me also as an American.
Mm-hmm.
And big ratings. And Gutfeld is an atrocious... Hey, how'd you get up here, Mike? Gutfeld is an atrocious, like, comedian.
Well, I was asking you before we were recording, where did he come from?
The depths of hell.
Was he a comedian before this, or they're like, he's kind of snarky, he's our funny guy?
I don't know,
because Jimmy Fallon has a show on Fox.
Yes,
and it is, like, from what I've heard, a comedy show. Christina's done it. I know Corinne's been on it, and I don't think Jimmy is a conservative guy.
Yeah,
really?
No, he is.
Is he?
Oh, right. Now I used to do his radio show before he was on Fox.
Yeah.
And I saw, and I'm not going to speak this, he was always nice to me.
Yeah.
He was always, he liked me. But there's, like, obviously no chance in hell I'd ever be on anything he's doing now.
Yeah.
Not for any personal reason between us.
Just politically.
But I'm just like, no. And I don't subscribe to that. Comics are so fucking ethically loose. Like, and it's like, if Goebbels had a fucking hit comedy show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of these fuckers would have done it.
Yeah.
Hey, it was 34. I didn't know exactly what was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I got kids to feed.
Yeah.
You know, if they want me to get up there and do some shtick, like, hey, well, who am I to say no?
Yeah.
Okay. And I was tight with Goebbels in high school, by the way.
Yeah.
So, like, he was always cool to me back in the day.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know what you want me to say.
That's show business.
Yeah, that's show business. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying Jimmy is that. I'm saying Fox News is.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and I've seen people, but I just wouldn't. I wouldn't, because I think this, like, culturally, this linking of, if you shit on people and that is the hallmark of comedy. You know, I mean, Dave Chappelle, his closing bit from his last special was about Lil Nas X. It stunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shitty closer.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of people that are just like, well, he said the phrase I was looking for, which is the gayest N-word in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough for me.
Right.
Horrible 15-minute bit. Right. It was legit, objectively a bad bit.
Yeah.
To close this, like, you closed your special on, like, one of your worst jokes in the special just because you were now almost, even, this is even the great Dave Chappelle
mm-hmm.
is susceptible to the kind of serotonin boost of seeing people say, get them, Dave. And yes.
Yeah, of course.
And we, yes, yes, you get them. Don't let anybody, don't lose sight of the joke. Like, that's what I feel like happens. And it happens on both sides. And if left-wing comedy were sort of driving stand-up and the kind of energy,
mm-hmm.
I'd probably be bitching about them. I bitch about my fans all the time.
Well, I felt like for a little bit they were. And I think that, like, I think what happens is, I think the entertainment industry at large
mm-hmm.
leans left. Like, mm-hmm. the powers that be. So the Disneys, the really big places.
Tubi, where my special is streaming right now.
Sure. I think that's why you see that there's a lot of diversity in Star Wars and, like, now Marvel and all these places, because I think that's part of Disney's mission statement a little bit. It's, like, part of their plan for programming things. So I think they lean that way a little bit, and they'll pick out, it's easier for them to pick out the Hannah Gadsby's and people like that kind of fit that profile a little more. And then I think as a response to that, you have these people that go so far the other way.
Well, Netflix loves the yin and yang of that. Like, Netflix in its own world is the...
There's a Tony Hinchcliffe special and Nanette.
We have Hannah Gadsby and Dave Chappelle 69ing in this new special.
Right, right, right.
Like, that's basically Netflix's algorithm orgy.
Right.
That they don't care.
Yeah.
They are an algorithm-based behemoth.
Yeah.
But when I watch Gutfeld, it's another area. It makes me sad for comedy because I see people going on that show that I'm like, I know you're right leaning.
Yeah.
But doesn't the comedian in you sort of go, ugh?
Yeah.
And don't you kind of see Fox News? Do you see Fox News as just like, yeah, they're just like any other news network. Right. Totally cool.
Right, right, right.
You're on Fox News doing comedy.
Right.
Sorry to turn into Nathan McIntosh all of a sudden. You're on Fox. You're doing comedy on a fucking propaganda network.
Yeah, yeah.
Watched his other special. Liked it.
Yeah.
Good comic. I hear he's coming on Mike Coscarelli Rules soon. Look at that promo. Look at that promo I just gifted you.
Yeah, if I can. Don't promo until I have him, but yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, you're talking about big shit last week.
Off mic.
No, because I reviewed his first special, his first YouTube special on mic.
Right.
Okay, well.
I think he's coming eventually.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
Good comic.
Yes.
But that is kind of how I feel, where it's like nobody should have good comedy. I think we might be post. We like using these terms, and I'll wrap it up on this. Are we post comedy?
Oh, I think we're very much post comedy.
Where it's now culture.
Yeah.
And it's like you can be funny. Brian Simpson, whose special I reviewed, that is a perfect example of we need more of that. It's not that he avoided topics. It just felt like politics wasn't necessarily a core element of his act.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I hate people who go, I like it when people leave politics out of it. Well, if you're funny, I have a friend, Lou Perez. He wrote a book. I mean, I forget whose podcast I referenced this on, but he made jokes about Obama in it. And the whole book, it's called, this is a nice plug for him, but it's a good book.
Yeah.
Called That Joke Isn't Funny Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about different things. And in the book, he made jokes about Obama. And I think one of them may have been something to the effect of like, oh no, I love Obama. He was the coolest guy to drone a wedding or something, you know, which is a good joke.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't align with my political, you can see it and go, but I found myself reading it, that section of the book. I laughed at a lot of it, but the Obama stuff, I was just like, my politics were starting to creep up and I was like, well, I don't really dig like making fun of Obama like that much. And I checked myself and was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
He wrote a joke. He might agree with that joke, but it's still a joke.
Yeah.
And it's not a badly done joke or whatever jokes he had. And that was helpful for me because I go, I know me and Lou aren't on the same political side, but I know that he's a comedy first kind of guy. Like his jokes may be different, but they're going to be jokes. My jokes may be different for his politics, but he'll see that they're good jokes. And there's not, because I don't think it should be this, stay away from politics. Why the fuck can't people, the problem is we've reached this point where people can no longer laugh if the joke disagrees with their, and don't get me wrong, if you have a kid who died of cancer and the person's going on a riff about cancer, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the right to shut down the show, but only a piece of shit would be like, sorry, you didn't find it funny. I'm a comedian.
Right.
Cancer survivor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Widow of cancer victim.
Yeah.
No. But I feel like we've reached a little bit of that point where it's like sometimes you get the feeling like, no, there are, it feels like there are people who are like, if you don't laugh at that, you're fucking ruining comedy.
Right.
And I wish we could do politics and do every topic and not have it be that's not, no, I'm not for that. I'm not for, I wish you'd, all topics should be on, but I feel like the right now has the conch shell or whatever. Like they're the ones dictating shit right now in comedy where it matters to me, not like what Colbert or Fallon are saying, but I mean, in the clubs and in the specials and like what's driving sort of stand up culture feels like the right wing. And I don't think it's good. And just watch an episode of Gutfeld for confirmation of that. So that's it for a meandering talk on comedy, conservative comedy, politics and comedy. And we'll be right back with another special that discusses comedy and politics. Welcome back, everybody. Mike, how's your second break?
I'm very excited to talk more comedy.
Oh, good. Good. Because is that what this symbol meant? You kept doing this throughout the segment.
You only have to worry when I do this.
The punchdown of the week this week is a great one. And I'm doing it as myself because I feel like,
wanted this one. You didn't want to give this exactly. to Scott. Yeah.
Vinny, Scott, Jesus, they all Republican Jesus, excuse me. I thought this one was good. It's not a classic punch down, but it so embodies my career at this point. So I post that I am going to be in like five different cities, you know, just a tweet that I'm saying like, oh, I'm going to be here. I got shows here, here, here. If you can't make those, check out my special there. One of the cities was West Stockbridge, Massachusetts in the Berkshires. That's where I'll be May 18th. And a person writes, West Stock, and I don't say the dates. I just say the city's coming up. The less information, I feel like the algorithm won't limit me as much. West Stockbridge? Seriously? Wish I was in town, but will pass on to friends. Now, that's a nice sentiment.
Sure.
My issue with it, as you can imagine, I have an issue.
Why wouldn't you?
I didn't say when I was going to be in West Stockbridge.
Yeah, but all right, JL. This is a nitpick. Because if he's going to pass it on to friends, he might say this really funny comedian that I know and like is coming to town.
Right, and that'd be great.
Check on it.
That'd be great.
Check his website. Check his whatever. Maybe he did that.
I hope he did.
And now you're shitting on the guy.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Because I've dealt with too many. Now, here's the problem.
Yeah.
I have PTSD from a bunch of, you know, the lying fans who just want to interact.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, man. Like, I remember posting about a book that hadn't come out yet. And they were like, I loved that book. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Great. Good engagement. Thank you. Yeah. You're a psycho. but I've had people say, you got to come to Boston. I remember I did 3 shows in Boston and this person was like, you got to come to Boston. And then they're like, maybe I'll come. And I'm like, you've been requesting me for a year.
Yeah. Right.
You went 0-3 at my shows.
Right.
Okay, cool. So when I see that, I go, so you're out of town.
Yeah.
Then you don't live there. If the only way you can, because to say I'll be out of town is to indicate that there is a point in time where you will be in town.
Yeah.
He's not just famous. He's infamous.
Yeah, yeah.
El Guapo. 3 Amigos. You ever see it?
I don't really remember.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's not just famous. He's infamous. Can I tell you a quick story about 3 Amigos?
Sure.
Very quick. Mike just surrendered when he said sure.
He surrendered.
He's calling
for the end of the first segment.
He is calling for a ceasefire right now. 3 Amigos, when I saw it, they're idiots, obviously. Martin Short, yeah, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase.
Yes.
They're 3 dumb actors, and this town is being terrorized by this guy.
I know the book. I've seen the
book. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just don't remember, like.
So they go to the typist to send like a telegram to the 3 Amigos who they think are real heroes, not movie stars.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, the guy's saying it's the awful, terrible, violent, disgusting, blah, blah, but he charges by the word. So he says to the Mexican lady, he goes, say infamous. It means all of that. Saves you money. Okay, great. I'm 7. I don't know what infamous means. When it gets to Martin Short, who's a white guy and a man, I was like, oh, I trust him. So when he said, oh, this El Guapo guy's not just famous, he's infamous. My thought as a 7-year-old, a biracial 7-year-old, but with no Latin blood, was dumb Mexican. I can't believe the dumb Mexican used this word, which is fooling the 3 Amigos.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, bias is real.
Yeah.
And it's just an interesting, it was like, I love thinking of that story because I'm just like, look, that was an innocent, it wasn't me going like, I had no even like real relations with like Mexican people.
Yeah.
I just had this imprint of like, well, the 3 white Americans know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's infamous. Great job, Mexican.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I know. I learned last week what infamous means. Totally changed the movie for me. Anyway, my whole point is, if you don't live in town, then you don't say, I won't be in town. That's like if somebody said, I have a show in Nebraska. I've never been to Nebraska. If I go, I'm not going to be in town that week.
Yeah, yeah.
That month, that year, my lifetime.
Right.
So I'm just saying that was the little bit of like JL's spidey sense for hate started tingling. And I said, you're not in town, but I didn't tell you when I'm going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like when a villain in a movie realizes what a piece, like they're going to kill the witness or something, where it's like, oh, but I never said when I'd be there. That was the tell, you dummy. You gave it away. Anyway, guys, special, and then we're done. Cat Williams released a new special on Netflix. It was live. I watched it live. Did you watch it live, Mike?
No, I did not. I didn't even know it was out.
So you haven't watched it at all?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, it's called Woke Folk.
Oh, great. more woke.
No, but it's, hey, it's a theme. It's okay if the show has a theme this week, Mike. It just so happens it all weaves together.
Yeah.
Cat Williams, to me, I saw Pimp Chronicles was his, I think,
masterpiece.
Big breakout and masterpiece. I loved it. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
Vulgar, but like just
I don't drink Anisette, but bitches do.
the energy, the persona, the everything about it was like, who is this guy? And I'm sure different comedy scenes were well aware of him.
Yeah.
But like, I wasn't. Loved it.
Yeah.
In fact, a year later, I paid good money to take a woman on a first date. The year, Mike, 2008. Cue up the Timbaland. Took a nice looking lady to a first date to see him at Carnegie Hall. It was 2 days after Obama had won the White House. It was one of the worst shows I've ever been to because he was in the midst of like his, he had like 3 weeks earlier, he'd been like arrested.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, he was like naked in a hallway in a hotel or something. That doesn't, when I paid $90 a ticket, I don't give a shit what your problems are. Mm-hmm. You either cancel the show or you do the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every like third punchline was like, well, now we got a black president.
Yeah.
Like every joke that bombed, well, now we got a black president.
Yeah.
Even the most ardent Obama black fans in the crowd were like, okay, joke.
Yeah.
Got a bit.
Yeah.
We all know we have a black president now.
Yeah.
So from that moment on, I was a little scorned from Cat Williams. Still will watch his stuff on TV. We'll never pay money again to see him. And I remember the date was just like, no, that was fun. And I was like, you don't have to lie. Never saw her again. That's called integrity. You don't think I have money where you can be honest about how shitty a show it was?
Yeah.
Don't lie to me, ma'am. She could have been the one, Mike.
Maybe.
But we'll never know because you lied.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, woke folk. I rolled my eyes as soon as I saw the title when it was announced because I was like, oh, good. Another guy talking about woke. But it's almost like the title was brought up by an algorithm. Once again, like somebody said, you know, it'll get people woke in the title.
Right.
Because it's really not the diatribe against PC political correctness and wokeness. There's some jokes. I learned one of the funniest things I thought in the thing was a video from like 2010, like a YouTube video from 2010 that I didn't realize had been a thing years ago. So it was very apparently even staler than I thought. It was not good.
Yeah.
And I feel like this was a special, though. There were like the Club Shay Shay appearance from him, which was like set the world on fire and basically made everybody into created beefs everywhere.
Yeah.
I feel like they were just like, let's get Kat as soon as possible in a big high profile special. It was very, very, very mediocre. And his, unlike the previously mentioned Nathan McIntosh, who's in his prime for like screechy comedic voice, the Kat Williams voice is not aging well anymore. So like when he does like a falsetto, it's no longer Pimp Chronicles.
Yeah, yeah.
It's now like, that's just annoying. Which is sad. This is Willie Mays falling in center field for the Mets.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But screaming the N-word a lot while doing it. So, unfortunately, woke folk, I gotta say, I was happy that it wasn't, the silver lining was at least it was just a special that really wasn't about, you can't say anything these days.
Yeah.
He didn't really do any of that, which was at least, it failed.
Refreshing.
Well, it failed for me, but it failed on the merits, not because he was trying to get some collection of Rogan, Chappelle, Bill Maher, like a coalition of the anti-wokes to love his special. So it was not that good. And I think that's just like this episode, not that good. Because I know how you love nice comedy and now conservative comedy may have just surpassed it. Surpassed it. They said nothing could ever defeat nice comedy in Mike's estimation of worst Rain on Your Parade, but I think this day I done it. But guess what, people, I liked the episode and that's what counts. So what do we want them to do? Subscribe on
please go to the, if you're watching this on YouTube, we appreciate that, and obviously interact, leave some comments, anything that
Republican Jesus got some good work in.
Republican Jesus, yeah, he did a great job there. So please leave some comments. It helps the algorithm. It tells YouTube that we have a cool, fun, good video. If you're already doing that, we appreciate that. If you're listening on the audio product on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening, please leave a review. Preferably a...
Just do it now. While Mike is telling you to leave the review, leave a review.
Go do it. That's right. Maybe tell a friend to leave a review. And also, these clips are dying on social media. We need you guys to get in there. Go follow Slickback Studios, Slickback_Studios on Instagram. And when we post these JL clips, get into the comments.
It is stunning how my clips, I feel like they look at my clips and go, these don't match the other people. Did somebody hack Mike's account? They probably do think that. Right. Like, did Mike's account get hacked by a bitter middle-aged man?
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say,
pretending to be Jesus.
I will say, while I'm on the air, I need those in non-Apple form sent to me so I can share them on my more populated social media.
They're coming.
Yes! Yes, everybody. Good news. The good news, have you heard the good news, Mike? And my special, obviously, Half Blackface, if you haven't already, please go check it out on Amazon or Tubi. Free on both. Anything else? Anything you want to... No, Mike Coscarelli rules.
Please, yeah.
All right, guys.
Listen.
Well, thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know Mike didn't, but I hope you did. See you next Thursday.